Welcome to Down to Herf, the podcast for cigar smokers, whiskey drinkers, and for the people just looking to kick back, light up, and have a good time. I'm your host, Jerry, and I'm joined by, as always, my co-host, Gio and Caleb. Fellas, how are we doing on this fine Wasted Wednesday?
Well, I'm sitting back, I'm lit up, and I'm having a good time. Interview today, so I'm feeling well, doing well, and hopefully you guys are as well.
Gee, how you doing, bro?
Feeling good, feeling great. Yeah.
Obviously, we had a special guest today. Why don't we kind of talk about that, G?
Well, before we get into that, I think it'd just be very appropriate to take this moment to thank our sponsor of the show, Crown Heads. Looking forward to all the good stuff they got coming out at PCA. Later on in the show, we'll be talking about some other fun stuff from them. Be on the lookout for their Blood Medicine 2024 release coming out. And as always, the Mil Diaz line and Lavaretta and many, many more fine cigars.
I think the Mule Kick's coming out soon, too.
Yeah.
Definitely looking forward to that as well. Plenty to look forward to from our sponsors, the Crown Heads. But that being said, Gio, let's get into this episode, brother.
Well, guys, so we got a fun one. You know, our buddy from our sister show, Cigar Hustlers Podcast. We got.
Are we the sister?
I call it, you know, it's sister.
The hot sister. Definitely the hot sister. Like, we are the hot sister for sure.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You're like, we're like your friend's hot sister.
That's really odd.
Yeah, we're like your friend's
hot sister. I don't know. I feel uncomfortable with that statement now, even saying that. But anyway.
Why? You got a hot sister?
I don't have
that. I don't know about?
Well, my sister's three, so. Yeah.
Jail.
Hot older sister.
But.
My bad. Off to a bad start.
Yep.
Sorry,
yep,
Mike.
There you go. Anyways, that being said, we are here going to be having the one, the only Mike Szczepankiewicz on the show. And
good job on the pronunciation, too. I still can't say that shit.
Yeah.
I'm Polish. I can't say it.
Listen, you got to just tell me once, then I won't fuck it up. But we are actually going to be smoking a cigar that is very personal for Mike. The Pestaña Connecticut Justice. This one is a tribute to his son. These things are going to be coming at you at $13.50 a stick, 21 count boxes. They're debuting. He's going to say where later in the show. We got a great interview for it, and I'm excited for, you know, you guys to really enjoy it. Caleb, I think that's time. Get into that bottle what we put drink.
All right, guys. We have Belle Meade Sour Mash Straight Bourbon Whiskey today. This is from Nashville, Tennessee. This is a 90.4 proofer. It is on the high rye mash bill blend. So they don't really say how high rye, but it's probably about 30% and or more. The barrels aging on here is between 6 to 8 years. So that's how long you got aging going on here with this whiskey. Sour mash here. This Nashville, Kentucky. So Belle Meade is a pre-prohibition bourbon produced by Charles Nelson from Greenbrier Distillery. It actually shut down due to prohibition, but obviously years later, several descendants from Charles Nelson have proudly resurrected the family business. So that's where we get Belle Meade bourbon from. So right there, they resurrected it. It's got a sweet spot for the taste, the aging, the proof point, and the mash bill. So you know what, guys? For 90 proof, this drink's very easy. It is very sweet. No Kentucky hug yet. Maybe feel it in the front of your mouth on the teeth. Other than that, goes down easy. Piece of cake right here. I like it. For a high rye, doesn't even taste like it. What do you think, Gio? Because I know you're not a rye guy.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck happened, because the last 2 days we've had stuff that is this quote-unquote high rye, and I don't taste any fucking rye at all. So maybe my fucking paradigm has shifted.
Maybe he's now a rye guy.
Nah.
Not everyone can be a rye guy. It takes a certain kind of special someone to be a rye guy.
But yeah, two bottles in a row. Low proof point too, like varying price point as well. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting lucky picking the random fucking bottle.
I feel like it's not that you're a rye guy. I just feel like those high proof ryes are the ones that fucking kill you.
Could be it.
Maybe. I don't know. But with the whiskey lately, I feel like I've just been having a run of good luck, I guess. The only one I didn't like was honestly that Hardin's Creek. And ironically, beforehand, you guys were telling me, oh, yeah, this thing got shit. And you guys ended up liking it. I was like, eh, I'm not really that a fan.
Yeah, Gio ended up being the guy who didn't like it. But
ironically.
Yeah. That being said, we obviously have an interview coming up, so we'll let Gio take it away.
All right, guys. Here it comes.
All right. We are now here. Finally, the internet is back in Florida. This is breaking news.
Take two with Mike Stefankevich, Mr. Cigar Hustler, the king himself.
What's it like, man? You guys are back, baby. Florida's got internet again. What was it like during the 30 minutes?
Well, I think it was like a movement against Apple is what had happened, which is really, you know, quite intriguing because everything else in my house was working except anything that was an Apple product. So,
racist.
We're back. That's all that matters.
I don't know what to do now that I can hear you.
Yeah, and I my picture is crisp.
Oh, dude, you are. Well, come closer.
Model S.
Closer. Yeah. Closer.
Whatever moisturizer you're using,
buddy.
Great, buddy.
Dude, what retinol cream do you use, man? Your eyes are looking flawless. Not even a bag.
Oh. You wear some face masks?
Bags have bags.
Of money.
Very tight.
All right, listen. We obviously are restarting this entire thing, which is okay. Yeah. Because now this is crispy. Now this is going to be a nice, simple edit for me, which makes me happy. Yeah. We are smoking the new Pestaña Connecticut Justice.
Yes.
You got to retell us about it. You got to go through the whole thing again. Let's do it again.
Have a good night.
Warm up for PCA, because I'm sure that appointment book has got to be getting full by now.
Yeah. So listen. To be honest, with the PCA thing, I have the most appointments I've ever had, which is awesome. I don't think that it's still nearly as many as it needs to be. I think I still have a long way to go. But I always make progress. So every year you try and do something different. You try and, you look at what some of the other guys are doing and you try and steal some of their shit because some of them are smarter than you. So I did like the Calendly app this time around. Sokka crushed it with that last year, so I'm like, ooh, I need that in my life. It seems like everybody's using it this year.
I wonder why that is. One guy has a good idea, and the next thing you know, I mean, it's a compliment, man. It's not a bad thing.
Industry, man. So it's just like the football league. It's a copycat league. It's a copycat industry.
For sure. Yeah.
No, I think that the real players in this game actually learn from everybody else, and then you kind of formulate your own plan, and you make your own thing.
Well,
so...
I mean, I definitely would agree with that. Like, we were just, we had another interview and they were talking about how, like, afterwards, like, PCA, all the big guys, they just hang out at, like, the Rocky booth and shoot the shit with each other. So I'm sure to a degree that makes sense. And it's as far as just learning things that work well from one guy and then implementing it across.
Yeah, some of that happens. Some of them is that them just getting really drunk and saying how fucking awesome they are, too. Because that's another big part of this industry.
Yeah. There's. Definitely some egos, to say the least.
Yeah. So I went into Cigar 9 years ago, man. Cigar was created, and it was made for the birth of my son. And the band that I made back then, they were very simple. It said Apollo Danny. Now my wife is here, and she's listening. But everybody told her that she was going to have a girl, and I said that if she was going to have a boy, I got to name him. And if it was a girl, she could name him. So I picked Apollo and she picked Danny at the time. She wasn't really 100% on Danny, but I needed to make the bands. So we were there. Apollo, Danny, done. We were moving forward. Cigar. So I wanted to blend a Connecticut cigar that had more body to it and something that hadn't been done before. So I made a Connecticut shade cigar with a Pennsylvania broadleaf binder and more oomph in the fillers between Nicaraguan and Dominican fillers.
So,
and yes.
I was gonna say, this thing's got a very unique taste to it. Really, 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 I like the room aroma this thing's putting out too.
Thank you. Thank you, Jerry.
Great. I can't really put my nose on it. That's one part. I mean, if you've ever listened to me talk on the show, that's one part that I struggle with, identifying notes. I'm like, oh, I know that. What the fuck is it though? And that's a big issue I have. I have to be able to go back into my mind and figure out what that is.
crack is what it is. There's crack inside of it.
Yes.
And you should easily identify that with yeah. your lineup.
I know what it looks like. I don't know what it crack. Tastes and smells like.
It definitely has a unique smell when you smell crack. It definitely, you know it's crack when you smell it. I can tell.
Phil will be like, well, this is actually from 48 Shepherd Street here. Fine addition to the Rock family there.
Low fentanyl quality.
You yeah. know, a distinct eggshell white.
Yeah, he identifies his rocks like, you know, uppity people identify caviar.
He's like a, he's a gemologist of sorts for the crack rocks.
It's like you need him as like a person to report so you can track where it's coming from, you know?
Yeah.
Where did the crack come from, Phil? He's like, oh, this is 48th Street shit, man. Come on.
No, everybody. I mean, the funny part is he will actually straight up say sometimes like, yo, this shit coming out of so-and-so address is fire right now.
And then it'll be like, yeah, man, you know, that shit coming out of what's-it-called street is...
whack.
That shit's whack right now,
just
bro.
Just go bust that.
That shit's all cut. It's garbage. He what knows, dude. Expect?
And then...
What do you expect from a crackhead?
Yeah.
You think he's going to be, like, tight-lipped or something?
If, no, the funniest thing
I have an idea. I would love to give him one of these cigars. I would really like his input on it.
Oh. Okay. Well, I mean, he'll say whatever the hell you want to say for $5.
Yeah, right.
No, it's true. You can buy him, but I'm very curious. I tried to buy him a coffee one time, and he pretended and acted toward myself and my wife, who were just at the coffee store. He just happened to be there. I was like, hey, Phil, you know, I was kind of feeling bad. I was like, hey, man, you need a coffee? He's like, nah, man, I ain't got time for that right now. I got shit to do. I'm like, what the fuck do you got to do, bro? He blew me off.
He could have took that cup and sold it.
Yeah.
You know, I got to say, I saw a meme that I think that you would really relate to.
Yeah.
When you're feeling down, not saying you're feeling down. I'm saying like when you're going through the daily hustle that is life, right?
Yeah.
You ever notice crackheads never fucking sit around and be like, yeah, I'm not going to smoke today because I don't feel like hustling for money. They're always out there.
Yeah.
It don't matter when. They are hustlers. So I feel like, you know, being a hustler is kind of like being a crackhead.
Well, no, no, no.
No there's days
a,
off.
There's a fine line between addict and hustler.
There is.
Crackheads do not take days off, do they?
No.
It could be 2 degrees. Their beards are frozen. They're wheeling around in wheelchairs. They are still hustling for a buck.
Yeah. You got to go crackhead speed.
No, it's admirable.
You go crackhead speed. You just don't do the dirty deeds that they do to get the money.
Yeah.
You don't do thefts. You don't do sexual deviant favors. You don't beat up other people.
Deviant favors.
Yeah, you don't do stuff like that. You know, I mean, you don't end up on World Star to hustle for your. You know, there's limits.
I have actually heard the stories of the stuff that the dealers will exploit the crackheads to do. They'll make them do weird shit to each other. It's fucked up. This is what you get on the Down to Earth podcast, ladies and gentlemen. We just got like 20 minutes of crackhead talk.
And if you want to see videos of crackheads doing crackhead stuff, make sure you follow the After Earth on Patreon and Cigar Hustler on Patreon as well.
What a transition. He's like, yeah, I blended this cigar for the birth of my son. Now let's talk about crackheads for 10 minutes.
All right, here, hold on. We'll touch right back to that. So, Mike, you had Apollo Danny, but then you went with Justice. So clearly, you didn't name your son Apollo. So what happened with the name change there?
My wife wouldn't let me name him Apollo.
Not a fan of the Greek gods, I see.
Yeah,
he's not a fan of the Greek gods. Okay. Oh. Hold on. Tell me, how did it play out exactly?
I happen to like the name Apollo.
Yes.
However, at the time, I was watching The Real Housewives of Atlanta, and Phaedra, who was on there, his husband was named Apollo, and got arrested.
So there you go. It's Phaedra's fault from The Real Housewives for marrying Apollo, who got arrested at that time, and we could not affiliate it with that current Apollo.
See,
fuck, man. Too bad it wasn't 2024, man, because Apollo Creed, Carl Weathers was a good guy.
See, at least
rest in peace.
The story you got to say is like, well, no, Apollo died against Ivan Drago, and we can't lose to Russians.
I like that.
Yeah, but we're very happy with the name Justice.
No, that's...
and his middle name's Titan. So
like a Greek Titan from back in the day, that works too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. They all have badass middle names.
That's dope.
Jax is Warrior, and Teddy's is Marvel.
Marvel? Like, like the comic company?
Like Captain Marvel?
Okay, yeah. All right.
Perfect.
Y'all are so fucking millennial, dude.
Who?
You guys.
What are you?
You just, I'm a millennial as well. You guys went with like the craziest names, man. Like you just, you couldn't, it couldn't be John.
That's
you
plain.
Got like a vape pen in your pocket. I don't want to fucking hear it.
Nah, I don't touch that shit, dude. I have a cousin. Being a person who vapes is borderline being a crackhead. The shit that they do for those vapes, it's kind of scary, dude.
You're like Mike McDaniels.
No.
Listen,
I love it. I got another video of him actually vaping while they were losing to Kansas City. He tries to hide it, and then he like. Dude,
listen,
both the Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills are just giving away their team. It's pretty fucking hilarious, if you ask me. They just don't want to win anything in the division this season. Is that what's going on?
I don't know, man.
We're still going to win the division.
You know, this year I could have swore it was the Bills' year to win the Super Bowl. You know, I would have said it myself. You heard it here first. But nah.
I mean, listen, we wish Jordan Poyer the best, just not when he plays the Bills. That was
you got two teams that are going to be wild cards, man.
New England's going to be terrible. Cards, dude. New England's going to be terrible.
Total regime change in New England.
What did Baker just get?
$110 million.
$110 million for Baker Mayfield for 3 years.
Yeah, worth every penny.
Are you fucking nuts?
Still slinging a Mike Evans, so.
I promise you.
What press are you reading on that wow fucking internet?
If you wanna check stats, I promise you he threw a third of the fucking interceptions your boy did up in fucking Buffalo.
But how many touchdowns?
Yeah, but did he have 50 total touchdowns? What did he have? 51, Josh Allen?
Yeah.
51 total touchdowns for Josh Allen. If Baker Mayfield did that and threw 18 interceptions, you wouldn't even care.
Did he make the postseason? Did you guys make the postseason?
Yes.
The Bills?
We were the number 2 seed.
We were the 2 seed.
Oh, yeah. Who'd you lose to?
Kansas City.
Yeah.
Who'd you lose to?
Tyler Bass missed a field goal.
Lions.
Okay. So not even the NFC champ.
You lost to a team that literally refuses to kick field goals.
I love the Lions.
I actually kind of do too. I kind of like Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell's just like, yeah, we always go for it on fourth down. We don't need a kicker. We should just cut our kicker.
I don't know. I kind of agree with him after we missed that fucking kick.
Yeah. Fucking Tyler Bass missed.
I like those like high school coaches who never punt. It's fourth down and 20. Go for it. Fourth and 30. We're going for it.
I got to say, the amount, I know I must do a lot of shit talking about the Bills. Because when Tyler Bass missed that field goal, my cell phone just got flooded. Fuck you. Fuck the Bills. I fucking told you. They just kept coming in. And I was just like, oh my God, literally. Like, you're all dead to me. I fucking hate you all. Fuck you.
No, the funniest.
And then 2 days later, I texted him back. I'll be like, all right, I'm over it. Now we can talk about it.
The funniest was when Mike texted in a group chat. He's like, just seeing how the room is right now. Oh, it's still hot. Okay.
Oh yeah, you did. Yeah, you were one of the fucking text messages. Yeah, still a little bit. Yeah, I'll come back to this in a couple days. You got to let us cool down a little bit. It was. It's just not good. It's not good, man.
Dude, I saw a hilarious joke today and it said, "Why do 49ers fans don't work over 40 hours a week? Because they suck in overtime." Oh my God.
Yo,
that's actually really good.
Yeah, fucking Kyle Shanahan. What is he, 0-4 now? Or 0-3?
He's 0-fucking fired.
You said fired? 0-fired?
Didn't he get shit canned?
No.
Kyle Shanahan? If he did, I would be an advocate saying, oh my God, here's our chance. Let's fire Sean McDermott right now and get Kyle Shanahan.
I love that word, shit canned, though.
No, he's still the coach of the Niners.
No way.
They fired the Wilkes, the defensive coordinator.
Oh yeah, that's who they blamed. They blamed the defensive coordinator.
It was his fault.
Someone needs to get fired for losing the Super Bowl now.
Yeah.
Well,
someone needs to get fired.
It's not good enough to go anymore. You have to win it.
Look, no, dude, that's not how this works. Someone needs to get fired for not being prepared and knowing the rules for overtime in the Super Bowl.
That's Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
Like the coach's job is preparation. You're supposed to be prepared for everything. So if you have no idea how to deal with fucking overtime in the Super Bowl, then you already fucked yourself. Like, you're not qualified.
So we had this talk on the show. I'm sure we will completely agree on this, Mike. If you win that coin toss, you have to defer. You don't ever take the ball first. Now, as the second team under the new rules, you get four downs to get a first down every time. Yeah. You have to, you just go for it every play. You have to go for it every fourth. If they get a field goal or a touchdown, you have to go for, you have four plays now to pick up a first down.
Yeah.
It's almost unfair. They think they corrected it, but what they did was actually just make it more of an advantage to get the ball second.
True.
But you still got to score.
You still got to score.
You still got to score on offense.
Like, strategy-wise, sure, but fucking, I don't know. If that were the Bills, somehow we would have fucked it up.
No, the other team would have just scored first if it was the Bills.
Well, that wouldn't matter. We still guaranteed a possession.
I love how this is our PCA pre-show. And for the first 15 minutes, we've done nothing but talk about crackheads, football. I love this.
We did ask one question about the name, so that counts.
Yeah.
Yes, we did that.
We asked the first time around. Let's get back to that. The band color, the white, the pink, and the blue.
Yeah.
On the Apollo Danny.
Yeah, because it was.
It was like a gender reveal thing.
Blue was for a boy and pink was for a girl.
Simple enough, folks. You heard it from Mike himself.
Miami Vice. Mm. Yeah. And as I said in the previous recording, everything I do kind of has purpose. One way or the other, there's always some hidden shit. Like, I always do some cryptic stuff, keep it interesting. And normally, if people can't figure it out, I don't tell them.
All right. So what color is going to be the Pestaña P for this year's PCA?
The Pestaña P?
Yeah.
We're talking about the shirt. Oh,
they're going to be gold again.
Golden peas?
They're going to say justice on them this time.
Nice. Oh. Yeah, like that.
Did I finally earn my golden pea this year?
I don't know if they put you on the list, Caleb.
I think you did. What size are you?
Large.
Yeah, I think I got you a shirt.
I'm there.
On the cricket, Jerry.
Okay, first of all.
Yeah, you did not.
I could not simplify this fucking logo. I couldn't.
Okay.
I couldn't do it. I was looking at it. I'm like, how the fuck can I make this more simple? It just doesn't. It looks stupid. Like, it doesn't look right. I don't know.
That stupid picture of me?
No. Caleb, I have a lot of stupid pictures of you. But I feel like a collage.
You know, I got to be honest. If we're being fucking honest here.
Yeah, yeah. I love honest.
It's the lamest fucking logo on the planet. It's a fucking glass with a fucking cigar. I mean, there's no, what's the image? What's the message there? That doesn't represent who you are. That represents every fucking other douchebag fucking person with a podcast in the fucking realm.
Can I be honest with you, Mike?
Yeah.
I told my wife, you know, I feel like at some point we might rebrand. And my wife's like, you can't rebrand after 2 years. That's ridiculous. Like, people wait a long time to rebrand. You don't just rebrand. I wouldn't even know what to do, dude.
Well, for one, you're cops.
Yes, so I know. I know what your brother and you guys all said. But then we have Caleb, though. Caleb's not a police officer.
Cigar cops.
On the op.
If Caleb was a cop.
I would keep it down to her. But I would change that image.
No, you're talking about the logo.
Yeah.
I don't even know what you would fucking do.
You put like a handcuffs in that.
I would keep it down to her if I like down to her.
Well, the name is, I think the name's clever.
Yeah, you got to redo that image.
Oh, then you got to buy a new neon.
Oh, yeah, look at that neon sign behind Caleb, though, man.
You got to get a new neon.
That's a cup, bro. Give me a fucking break.
If you're looking for a way to sponsor the show... here's how you can do it. Reach out to Mike and Mike Productions or reach out to us directly and you can sponsor our show.
And help with a new image.
Help us develop a new image.
Yeah. I mean, you can incorporate like Buffalo somehow, you can incorporate the type of cop somehow. You know, like there should be meaning behind your logo.
Don't you like simplicity though?
It can be simple, but meaningful.
Pestaña, very simple. Just a peek.
Meaningful.
However, it's very simple, though. And I like simplistic.
I got a question for you, Mike.
I like simplistic, too, with meaning.
Is there a reason why the arrow is pointing down?
It's just a modified version of the original Anchor. I didn't want to do the Anchor. I wanted to kind of make it my own. So I made it, I sharpened the image. That's all.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
What are you looking forward to most at PCA aside from all your appointments?
It's pointing to hell. I mean, like, it's for the Illuminati. Like, what the fuck?
It could be pointing down to the P.
See you there.
Yeah.
Could be pointing down to the P. You got to show everyone what it is and where to what to suck. God. No. You could save that one.
And if you ain't down with that,
we got two words for you.
Suck it.
Oh, there we go. Bro. There we go.
Oh my God. Suck it cigars. There
puff,
it is.
Puff it.
New brand.
What am I excited about the show?
Yeah, man.
I mean, it's pretty simple. First of all, I'm very excited about releasing The Justice. And that's definitely my priority. And I'm doing everything I can to release it the right way so that it has the right momentum. Other than my own child, the fucking Cro-Mag, Pennsylvania. My God. Did you guys get any of the pre-releases?
No.
So I have no idea how we didn't get pre-releases, but yeah. We didn't get them. I really wanted them. I got pre-release Volsteds.
You didn't order them from anybody?
No. I'm gonna have to wait until the fucking real thing comes out, I guess. I don't know, man. But the packs came, you know, kind of very similar to how the Volsteds came. No, we didn't get them, man.
Yeah.
Tommy? Nothing from Tommy.
I think he's slacking, because I don't even remember him posting it.
I don't even think he posted that he had them.
Did he get them?
I honestly have no idea. I haven't seen Tommy in a few weeks, so I feel like he would have had him already, because I saw a ton of people post him.
All right, another PCA question, because Jerry kind of...
How are we getting off this question?
Oh, I'm not getting off it.
How are we getting off this topic?
No, I'm staying on it.
Okay.
How are we staying on? We have to say. I want to talk about the Pennsylvania broadleaf.
I'm staying on the topic, too.
This is a topic that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I'm staying with it. It's a PCA. Right,
this is a PCA thing. And obviously, Romacraft changing up the blend, changing up the band on the fucking cigar. Is it awesome?
Yeah, it's fucking amazing.
That's all I want to hear.
It's trying to reconnect. Am I still here?
You're like there, but you're like,
all right. Cool.
It's not it's HD 90, anymore. 98% up.
Oh, well, we still got 98, so that's good.
It glitched.
All right.
It's fucking amazing. It's fucking amazing. It's better than the original Cro-Mag. You know, it's sweeter. It's got more complexity to it. It's fucking amazing. It's gonna have more people want that cigar than the people who just smoked Cro-Mag.
See, I smoke the Cro-Mag all the time. I like the Cro-Mag.
It's me too. It's better than the original Cro-Mag.
Now, all right, you said complexity, sure, though. Yeah, I want to touch on that because there was a little controversy in terms of the verb. What is your definition of complexity?
Ooh,
it's just the interchanging of flavor throughout the cigar.
Because we said that and you shit on us.
Who said that?
You did. Gave us a hard time. You said
about a particular cigar,
Caleb. You said we got to talk about what a complex cigar is, or something like that.
I don't use complex in my reviews. I don't use that word.
Well, listen. If a cigar doesn't change its flavor at all, it's not complex. That's what I'm. That's my argument. Is if you tell me that it's complex and it's not complex, I'm going to say, what the fuck are we doing
here? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't use that word a lot. But so you bring up that and tasting, and we did talk about this a little bit.
I looked at some of the shit you've reviewed, and it's not really that complex. So, I mean, I understand why you would see that, why you wouldn't use those words.
So I have one right here. So you bring up complexity and stuff like that. Now, how many different flavor changes or something that you would say, like, the complexity of cigar is too much or makes it too, you know, not good enough? If it's changing flavors too much or taste. Is that a bad thing, or do you want more of that, or just a couple flavor changes notes? Because can you have too much complexity?
I'm listening to this question, and you can see my face, but nobody else can see my face.
Dude, it's complex.
I looked like, you ever see that meme where the guy's like this? He's like,
it's
what the fuck kind of question is
it? It was
that?
A complex.
That's a complex question.
It was a complex question. It was complicated. There are levels.
Well, first of all, the answer is it depends, right?
Good answer.
I don't want something to be one note throughout the entire cigar, right? So I would look for it to be at least three different notes. And if it was at least three different notes at different times, I would consider that complex. Anything above that, great. I don't think that it's really possible to do it too much more, you know, just because of the length of the leaves and how you roll and build a cigar. I couldn't see it going to six different levels of, it's changing again. Like, I couldn't see that. Like, that's absurd, you know?
I'm going to have to talk to Mike and Skip. I got to get one of these fucking pre-releases. I'm sure they're going to have them.
Dude, if you really want, I could send you three of them, whatever, for you guys to smoke.
Yeah, just let me know let us know what we got to give you. You know, I'm always good for that. Just let us know, man.
Look, I don't want to get crazy, but, you know, like, you know how you had the crackheads do crazy things to each other? It's going to be something of that magnitude.
Oh, no. Remember our conversation the other day on the phone? Palmer texted me some interesting stuff, and I'm like, I talked to you about it. I don't want to spoil it in case there is anything. So I'm just going to be, I was like, you're like, oh, really? That's where you draw the line? That's where you draw the line. You talk to crackheads for a living. I'm like, first of all, no. I don't talk to crackheads. I patronize them.
There's nothing coming.
Okay, thank God. Yeah, there was some interesting stuff said. Yeah.
It was just a joke.
We'll make it work.
Should I be worried about stuff that was said? Because
this is Caleb's first PCA also, by the way.
I should be worried.
Period. You know, like you have an experience.
It is a...
Blew out my fucking calf, so it's going to be interesting to see what that looks like.
Look at the auto zoom on this fucking gimbal, too. Like, it zoomed out while you were looking down, and then it zoomed back in. Man, must be nice to have money, dude.
Yeah.
Ooh. Whoa. For those not watching on the YouTube, this is a great opportunity to tune in at youtube.com/downtoherfpodcast. What he just did was, like, I mean, this is money. This is what money does right here. Look at this guy.
For all you tech nerds, that's how you do a nice money shot for a nice portrait photo.
My fucking back is killing me, so I had to readjust.
Oh, man.
Another off-topic question. What do you do for bigger calves? I got an issue with small calves. It's genetics.
A lot of it is genetics. You know, I think that, to be honest, the answer to getting bigger calves is more high repetition sets with fuller motion than it is lower sets with higher rounds of heavier weight.
Start with calves.
Yeah, no girl cares how much you can calf raise on the calf raise machine.
I don't think you have to start with calves. I usually end with calves, and I'll do calves twice a week.
I'm going to tell you a funny story.
It's usually one workout.
I had this like trend out fucking bodybuilder tell me one time. He would restart his entire bodybuilding journey to have my calves. I'm like, dude, the last time I did calf raises was probably like 15 years ago. He was like, I would restart my entire bodybuilding life to just have your calves. And then I would just rebuild the top. I know I can do it. But I'll never have your calves. And that bothers me.
I saw a video like two dudes were working out and they had these skinny calves. They're trying to flex and look at their calves. And there's this old lady that's sweeping next to him, cleaning the gym. She's got gigantic calves. So then it moves forward to them, and they're sweeping.
That's funny.
That's about how much you have to train your legs. Like, calves-wise. Like, I mean, I am a sole believer that they are 100% genetic.
If you walked around on your tippy toes a lot, that would probably be.
No,
I don't know. No, like my calves. One, they're cut the fuck up too for no reason, and I do not work them out at all.
No, but you played hockey your whole life. You do literally motions that require you to use your calves.
Yeah, but what do I do now that would keep that?
They don't just go away.
It's the same thing with my quad. I have just big legs. Like he
ice skated his whole life. Oh my God, it's something that he loses his whole life. And you're a bigger guy. It's like it makes sense.
Yeah, but I could be a bigger guy that's like really skinny.
You ever, it's a Polish thing too, bro.
Like, big legs?
The Polish shit?
Yeah. Like, mailmen always have big calves.
I think the small calf thing is a Polish thing. I know a lot of Polish dudes, no calves.
Really?
Yeah.
But quad-wise, dude, my quads are fucking gigantic.
That's what I got. I got big quads, and I mean, just extensions once in a while, and then skating a couple times a week. That's really it. That's all I do. I do no lower body.
Yeah.
And then I could walk up to a guy that... I could walk up to the guy that's fucking throwing plates on plates on plates on a fucking... on a leg press and equal his energy on that. Effortlessly.
Legs 3 times a week.
You do... I should do legs 3 times a week?
Yeah.
What benefits? I mean...
Everything.
Everything.
I get it. But like, dude, they're rock hard. They're pretty cut. They look good in shorts. What more do I need?
Mobility for life.
Healthy knees.
You know?
Healthy knees. Well, that's why I don't like doing shit. Because I have a patella issue in my right knee.
You have a Nutella issue in your right
knee? Patella, which is the... do I got to tell you or you know?
Placenta?
Placenta? No,
Placencia?
No. Placencia? Placencia, yeah. Year of the Dragon in my knee.
You got a placenta in your right knee?
Placenta in my knee, yes.
All right. I got to get back to this justice thing real quick. All right. Yeah. And on the Apollo Danny, only made 100. Any of those still left kicking around anywhere? Or are they all gone and smoked?
No.
A couple left?
Yeah.
In your possession?
I try and smoke one every year on his birthday.
That's awesome.
I got like, I think I have like 15 of them left.
All right.
I was just handing them out at one point. Like, here, you have one. This is really special. And then some people still have them.
That's dope. All right. So for the justice... Now, how many different sizes and Vitolos are you offering?
This is the Corona Gorda.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. The Corona Gorda is justice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm looking online and it says Vitolos offered and there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different.
That's in the Pestaña, Connecticut
line. Okay. All right. Just making sure.
Yeah.
Because it's like an article for the justice. So I'm just making sure.
Right.
Yeah. Jesus, Caleb.
Hey, I'm just.
Educate yourself.
I'm educating viewers out there. To be aware.
Talk about the calf.
Yeah.
I need to inject Gio's trend right into my calves.
First off.
Stop. I'm not on trend.
I'm not.
He gets so upset, dude. He gets so upset, but never denies it.
I literally just said, I am not on anything.
He never denies it.
So come up to a lie detector.
We need a lie
detector test for that.
That's a great episode idea. Oh my God, we just get a polygraph guy to come in here and ask you if he's on steroids.
What's his back look like? Is he zitted out?
No.
I got to be honest with you. I don't know if I've ever really saw Gio's back. Before he was on steroids in 2021.
Oh my God.
Yeah, 2021. That was probably the last time we were all in fucking in Miami. That was a great time. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Aside from that, like...
I literally stayed in a hotel room with you in Vegas last year.
Do you think I'm checking you out, dude?
I was in a pool next to you.
I don't think I would look at your back, though.
I feel like if someone has a lot of zits, you don't have to look at
them. Yeah, that's true. I would have definitely noticed that. Yeah, I'd have been like, yo, dog, you might want to fucking... I would say use Proactive or something, but that gives you cancer, apparently. That just came out. Mm-hmm. Fresh off the press. Proactive gives you cancer.
Yeah, they recalled it.
It's recalled. No more Proactive. All that shit when we were kids and we had acne.
So can you sue if you get cancer and you took it?
I'm sure the commercials will be coming soon enough.
Yeah, they're like now the meso. It'll be like meso book on steroids like Gio.
This just keeps going.
All right, Mike, besides the Cro-Magnum and the justice at PCA, is there anyone else you're really looking forward to that you haven't met or talked to at PCA that you're looking forward to meeting in person? Or just maybe a future connect to work with.
Chad Ochocinco again.
Or yeah, maybe a celebrity that you want to meet, you know?
Man, I'm not really excited about any of that.
Besides the justice.
Yeah, you know, the only thing that I'm really excited about is just getting better at my own craft. I'm working harder and figuring things out, putting my cigar in more people's hands, working with more retailers.
Yeah. Caleb's all confused. He's like, he doesn't understand that, like, we barely saw Mike during the actual show. We're going to have a rematch of the sushi eating competition.
Good luck.
I'm in.
I don't touch that stuff, so I'm out.
Listen, I kept pace with you.
Did you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't remember.
I'm going to throw it out there. I thought that place, you guys were just loving it. I hate raw sushi. Like, dude, I couldn't have been further from Chipotle. I couldn't have been further away. I don't know what it was. I'm like a huge Japanese hibachi guy. I love hibachi. But like the raw sushi, dude, I can't do that stuff, man. So like the teriyaki chicken was probably the closest thing I had to like something that I would consider myself to enjoy.
Dude, you're like a 5-year-old.
No, I'm not. My 8-month-old baby eats more than I do. I'm like an 8-month-old.
You're like an 8-month-old?
Yeah, she eats way more than I do. She was eating salmon the other day. I'm like, ugh, you're disgusting. She can't even talk yet. I told her she was disgusting.
You're grossing me out.
You're like, you're grossing me out. She's like, I'm like, you're disgusting. Don't even look at me.
You're a mess. Talk to your mother about all recording problems.
Oh, dude, first of all, I think that's a collective thing. I think it's not... Dude, we're now touching... See, this wasn't part of this conversation. Now we just brought this back from a previous recorded 10 minutes. Yes, dude, there's a lot of clutter in the house with the baby. And all I made a bunch of suggestions. I just said, hey, man, we need to start throwing shit out. Yes, I said, hey, man, to my wife. Hey, man, we got to start throwing some of this shit in the garbage.
Didn't go over well.
It didn't go over well. Because everything I said, there was a reason why we needed to keep it.
It's a rookie move.
You just do it.
Yeah, I like, you know, we discussed it, and now that that's gone, now I might implement that. We might be just doing shit like that. Either that, or I'm going to do my suggestion where we just move the cars into the driveway one day, and then that dump truck thing, not the dump truck, but the fucking...
Dumpster.
The dumpster comes into the driveway, and I just start throwing everything into it. If I haven't seen it in 2 years, it's going in the trash. Yeah.
Oh, Mike, here we go. Still going back to the justice. We were talking about it. That's what we're here for. So how important is record keeping and keeping that exact blend the same? How important is that to you?
It is important to me. You know, what's kind of funny is I did have a copy of the blend. It's in my safe in my house. But the factory had it too, which was kind of remarkable. So, you know, when I was talking to Skip about it, he brought it out. He sent a picture of it to me. I go, yep, that's exactly it. So they blended it, and, you know, you would think that it would be different. You would think that it would taste different, that something would have changed. It didn't change. It tastes exactly the same from when I originally created it. So kudos to them and, you know, being good at their craft. They're fucking ridiculous. There's nobody close. There really isn't.
Yeah.
So... I'm fortunate to be working with them. A lot of other people, I'm sure, would like to be working with them, but they can't.
Now, obviously, I don't think there's any, you know, time soon where Pestaña isn't working with the Roma guys. But, like, we see, obviously, recently with the industry, like, sometimes those factory relationships change. Like, what happened with Nick and Aganorsa? Like, do you think something like that would be almost catastrophic if you had to completely reblend everything?
Well, what happened with Nick and Aganorsa?
They went to a different factory. I don't know the details. You probably know more than I do.
How does that happen?
I don't know. You tell me. This is why I'm talking to you.
Like, somebody had to have fucked somebody. That's the way that works. There's no way that you just say, you know what?
I made the joke. I said, goodbye, Terrence O'Reilly. Hello, Pepin Garcia.
Look, here's one thing that you guys don't know, okay? Is that the owner of the Aganorsa factory and Pepin Garcia, they fucking hate each other. Ooh, so, like, that is the biggest fuck you on the planet to say, hey, I'm going over here. So, Nick ain't saying shit. No one's fucking talking. But there's definitely some bullshit that went down. I don't know if it's just overall pricing hikes and the way that things were costing, or if it was limiting access to tobacco or what. But, you know, I don't think Skip would ever do that sort of thing to me. I don't think that, you know, like, I've known them for so long at this point that, you know, if I thought that I was being railroaded, I'd be like, yo, this is fucked. And then we would probably have a fucking bash out argument fucking conversation. And then we would just get over it and move the fuck on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're my friends, you know, so, and I consider them family at this point. Like, we've had family vacations together. We've done all types of things. I mean, you know, like, I you know, like, I couldn't see it happening. I just, you know, anything is possible, just highly unlikely. Highly unlikely.
Yeah.
So now, I do like working with other people sometimes. You know, I do like making cool one-offs and shit like that. And I've done that in the past.
That one didn't have a flower on it, though.
It didn't have a flower on it. And you know what the reality...
Oh, see, now we're talking. And maybe this is the key. He's skipping out over here. Uh-oh. See, we start talking about flowers, and all of a sudden the world's like, nah, nah, we're not talking about this.
Look, you know, look, I love Matt. He's a good guy. He's a good friend of mine. But the guy's all over the place. The guy's fucking all over the place.
I get that.
It's not like I can say, hey, this is what I'm thinking, this is what I want to do, and here's my blend, and let's build this. It's like, it's like the fucking Fear and Loathing Las Vegas guy sometimes, you know? It's like, oh, I'm like, dude, bro, fucking relax. You know? So, you know, I've had thoughts with the projects with him, and, you know, they've kind of been tabled. And I'm not the, and for me at this point, you know, I'm not, here's what I have learned in life is that if you want to work with me, I know my fucking value. So great, let's work together, right? I'm not about to fucking beg you, and I'm not about to fucking harass you. It's just that simple. We can do it together and, you know, build something and work on projects. Awesome. But I don't fucking need you, and you don't fucking need me. So, hey, if that's the case, no harm, no foul. We just hang out. We'd be good friends. So it took a while for me to kind of get to that mental ability, you know, but I could tell you that every single aspect in my business that I have done and I've accomplished has always been because of two things. One is that someone told me that I couldn't do it, and I sucked, right? And two is the fact that no one fucking helped. So whenever I asked for help, all it would do was slow me down. So, you know, like, I don't look for that anymore. I don't, if anything, when I get the ha ha ha, all it does is just perpetuate me into fucking, all right, cool. No fucking worries, dude.
So I want to pinball off that exact statement.
Go ahead.
Guys, when we first started this podcast, tell me, Gio, what was that like?
I mean, you just try to figure that out, and everyone tells you, oh, yeah, you're a fucking idiot. No one's going to...
What about you, Caleb?
Yeah, some of the people who you thought were your friends were just like, you're wasting your time. What a loser.
So the ha-ha-has that I've gotten, they're just silent. Those guys listen to the show now. Those are the people that are like, I thought it was a joke. I mean, I listened to it. It sounds incredible. You guys do a great job. I can't even... The editing's really good, and it's just like...
Editing's great, great.
No, somebody told me that.
No, I'm just fucking with
you. No, I know, literally, somebody told me that. Like a buddy of mine, I was like, I didn't even know that kid listened to our podcast.
Yeah, and there's nothing, and you don't have to hold anything against them.
So that those ha ha ha's, like you, that's like fuel, man. That's like a little taste of that gasoline that when, you know, that bonfire's getting a little low, it's just the coals and you want to see a nice flame. Dude, I love that shit. I love when people doubt me.
I agree.
That was a TikTok in the background, I bet.
This dude ain't even listening
to
it.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Someone laughed at me.
Yeah, dude. I mean, when we opened our store, it was a store. First of all, we weren't going to make it a cigar store. So, you know, when people came in asking for cigars, then all of a sudden you got people saying, well, you're never going to make it here because... Yeah, the last store closed and went out of business. So here we are 15 fucking years later.
Cigar Hustler, weird. For those that don't know this, Mikey was in the gas station business, right?
Yeah, for a short, sad period of my life.
So he was a gas station guy.
So you weren't
then doing... They bought up a plaza. They wanted to do some kind of like...
We didn't buy up a plaza.
Or like a store. You were maybe thinking about doing tattoos or some shit, right? Yeah.
I mean, get the story right, Jerry, for fuck's sake.
Listen, I'm giving the quick synopsis, and then somebody was asking about cigars, and then the dude just started doing cigars. I mean, it's kind of a fucking crazy little origin story.
Yeah, and then, you know, and then...
Like, it's all over the map. It doesn't even make sense.
My life doesn't make
sense. But truthfully, it doesn't make any sense. The whole thing doesn't make sense. And now here you are. You have this great, you put out, I got to say this. I hear this from a lot of people. You guys, for a smaller brand, make some of the crazy, like they are so good. Like when you talk about like chain smokeability, you could smoke them one after another, after another, after another. And they're equally as good. They're fantastically blended cigars. The flavor profiles on them are incredible. And as Caleb would say, very complex.
Actually, I do have to say, I've already made some notes on this cigar, Mike. I got four different complex flavors in here. Four. I counted them down already.
But like, it's pretty impressive that, you know, from doing gas station shit, like it's just figuring out your niche and what you want to do, that this is where you are now. And you're killing it, dude. You're killing it.
Thank you very much.
Kudos to you, man.
I appreciate that. But I got to be totally honest, man. I don't want to do any of it. I don't, you know, like my biggest problem is that when I do anything, it's a type A personality that fucking consumes me. So, you know, when I coach my kids' football team, I record every single game and I reverse engineer the other team's offense so that we can go back and readdress how to fix things on defense, you know, like, and it sucks in all my time. Like, you know, so when it comes to anything, that's really what I do. I look at the data, I look at my comparables, and then I make my own decisions.
How do kids' parents feel about that? Because, you know, some parents are lunatics.
How do kids' parents feel about what? Like the kids that are on my team?
Or? Yeah. Like, you know, the parents of the kids on your teams. They like that stuff? They like that you're doing that kind of homework, and do they appreciate it? Or are they just kind of like the kind of parents that are like, yeah, my kids are playing sports. I really don't care if they win or lose. They're a winner in my heart.
I think you got a little bit of both of that. And the reality is that, look, I'm okay with either one of them on my team. You know, we have lollipops. I give dum-dums every fucking game, every practice, you know. And I always look to level that kid up no matter what their ability is. So if a kid can't catch, I try and make him learn how to catch. If a kid doesn't understand routes, I try and have him understand routes. If a kid's going to be a quarterback, I show him where the windows are and how to read the defense, you know. So, like, every single kid is different. I mean, I had a kid that would ask me every 10 minutes what time it was. The next week, I bought him a fucking watch.
So,
this is hilarious. I'm saying, hey, look, they're like, this is a problem for you. You need to know what time it is. Here's your watch.
I don't think I've ever talked about this because, like, obviously playing, like, Little League football and stuff, that was a big part of my life. I played Little League football. I can tell you something I didn't understand. I didn't understand why I couldn't weigh 150 pounds and I was 6'3", and I was running around in trash bags but had a six-pack fucking abs, and these coaches were like making me starve myself and run around the fucking field to lose fucking 10 pounds that I couldn't possibly lose without like going into a caloric deficit that made me fucking literally almost pass out on fields. Like, it was kind of fucked up. I was like 13, 14 years old playing like Little League, like literally the last year, I remember it. The coach walked up to my door, knocked. He's like, hey, are you coming back, dude? I'm like, I'm 175 pounds. I have abs. I play fucking sports. Where am I losing 25 pounds? There's no way you're going to get me down. Since then, the rules have changed quite a bit. There's certain shit you can do, certain shit you can't, but it used to be a very strict weight rule. And coaches would never make the exception. There used to be like, hey, you got a guy overweight. You got a guy overweight. Let's trade them off. You know what I mean? Like, we're good on those two. There was none of that shit back in the day.
Right.
These dudes would like, it was like fucked up. I remember literally my mom at 5:30 in the afternoon. Hey, Jer, you ready for football practice? Fuck no. I would leave the house. Fuck that. I don't do anything football related. They just make me fucking run all day because it had nothing to do with playing ability.
You didn't learn anything.
It was the weight. It was the weight.
Can you talk about the Captain Morgan fucking beard that you got going on right now?
So this is a PCA thing. I'm gonna probably have the twists going by then.
Okay. He's gonna do the Doc Holliday, Val Kilmer style.
I know something was going on here.
Yeah.
Nice.
I took inspiration from the lack of haircut in the back of your hair, and then I saw your grizzly beard the other day on one of the episodes, and yeah, man, You've since then trimmed it down, but I see you're definitely growing the back out.
I am, yeah. This
is Patrick Mahomes kind of style or what?
I don't know what's going on, man. I feel like I'm getting older and it's getting thinner, so it's kind of a last hurrah.
Yeah, but it's still there,
though. You can still pull it off. It's working.
It's still there.
Maybe I got to tell my barber to hook me up with that style.
Yeah, let's go nuts.
But real quick, I just want to touch on one thing. As a coach of Little League football, how do you feel about that horrific story? Like, do you feel like that kind of sucks for a guy like me? They just, I felt used. And they kind of, like, for a little while, they kind of, in a way, made me develop, like, really bad eating habits.
I kind of blame your parents.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Should have got you out of that weight class.
There was no higher weight class.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
I made the decision in my last year to not play.
You were Jerry's therapist.
I was like, I can't do this again, man. Like, this is, like, it's mentally draining. And I hate to play, like, that mental part, but, like, dude,
did your parents show up to practice?
No. They only came to games.
Yeah. I blame your parents.
All right. I can deal with that. But do you have any kids that you run around in trash bags? You know what I'm talking about?
No. The coaching now is so...
I had a fucking constructor bag on with a fucking sweater on. It'd be like fucking 85 degrees outside. I'd be running around a fucking field the whole day.
Mike, I hate to break it to you.
Hey, we know he's good.
We just made this kid have fucking flashbacks and PTSD.
Yeah, I have like PTSD going right now, man. I'm just thinking about like running in trash bags.
All right, dude. He goes home. As soon as he's done here, he makes a phone call. He's like, you never fucking love me, Dad.
You didn't show up to my practices.
No, here's the fucked up thing. I don't know if you heard this story. So Jerry's father, fantastic bowler. Like, that's his thing. Like, great bowler.
Real good bowler. Like, really, like, really good bowler. It's a Polish thing, dude.
Multiple 300 games, like.
A lot of, like, probably 20-something 300s, like, 240 average bowler.
This gets funnier as this goes on here. So, for his birthday, Jerry's like, oh, we'll go bowling. This will be fun.
Oh, no.
Jerry decides to tell the story. He's like, when he quit bowling here, he's like, guys, I shit you not. Telling my dad I quit bowling, I think he would have been more supportive if I told him I was gay.
Like, he was so upset. He's like, really? Just going to hang him up like that, huh?
I have no son.
he was not happy. He was pretty upset about it. Yeah, I'll just go jogging with the trash bags. Dude, that's fucked. Yeah, that sounds a lot better. I'll just go jogging with the trash bags.
Yeah. No, I mean, as a coach, I appreciate your style of coaching because I've seen certain things. You've talked about it before on your, you know, when I've listened to your guys' show. And, like, I think from, like, the standard, like, wrestling was my sport. So there's a lot of bad coaches out there. And, like.
That's another sport that, like, the weight stuff.
Oh, it's just brutal.
It's terrible.
At 16 years old, I cut 18 pounds in 8 hours, and it was the dumbest thing I've ever done.
Were you doing, like, the Epsom salt baths and shit?
No. So we had a tournament in Pennsylvania, and we wheeled it. Every hotel we got had to have a sauna, because if they had to do a late cut. And there were, like, three of us that were overweight. So we all went in, like, sweats and trash bags underneath the sweats, dragged the stationary bike into the sauna, and we'd do 10-minute shifts. We all made weight, but it was just we all probably could have died.
100%. And I'm thinking about this right now. Again, more PTSD. We had this coach that if you were real close, he would bring you to a sauna with the trash bag on. He would make you sit in there. I'd be sitting in there with these fat ass fucking linemen that were like 5'3". I was a foot taller than these kids. No shit, I fucking weighed the same amount as them, if not more. Dude, it was fucking horrible. You know what sucks, though? I actually really loved football. I loved it. And I also had this coach. He refused to make me a tight end. I wasn't asking to play wide receiver. I had really good hands. I could catch the ball. And he refused. He said, you're a defensive end and that's your job. I'm like, it's basically the same fucking position.
Jerry Kelce over here.
Well, who knows? Who knows what could have been? I had fucking shitty coaches that never believed in me as a fucking tight end. Again, I live in this fucking neighborhood where all the coaches' kids had all the best positions. They were the quarterbacks. They were the fucking wide receivers. They were the tight ends. They were the fucking running backs. And they definitely weren't fucking running around the field in trash bags, I can tell you that. But God forbid you need 2 or 3 sacks a fucking game. There I was. Fucking sucked, man. I miss it, though. not the shitty part, but like the actual when the game came, I actually I was so angry.
You can invoice him for this therapy bill.
Had you been a tight end, you could have been dating Taylor Swift, possibly, man. They fucked up your whole future.
I married the girl of my dreams, and I love my wife.
I mean, who wants to be with that skinny broad anyways, Taylor Swift? No tits.
There you go.
I said it.
I think Mike needs therapy, too, after this.
No, you're a coach, man. I mean, like, when you hear shit like this, you don't want kids to fucking say this in 15 years about you. And I like that you implement styles where, like, hey, guys struggle with things, and I try to help them with those things. Like, if a kid came up to you and said, hey, I would love to be a tight end. How would you, what would your thoughts on that be? If he had good hands.
I would say, first of all, you got to earn that spot, right?
Sure.
So you got to out person, right? But I give him the opportunity. You know, I have kids that say, I want to be quarterback. I'm like, all right, we could go throw him with the ball.
Every kid wants to be a fucking quarterback. Every kid. I never wanted to be quarterback.
I never wanted
to. I just wanted to be a fucking tight end. I will block for you. But let me catch a ball.
The Justice throws the best ball on the team. He's smart. He checks things down. He looks for other receivers if his primary isn't open. Okay. Does not want to be quarterback.
Quarterback sucks.
It is like the biggest, like, you know, like the most heartbreaking thing as a coach to have a kid that has all those abilities. And then for one, he's my son. And he's like, nah, I don't really want to do that.
Yeah, I get that.
Like, okay.
I get that.
He's still young. He's got a bright future. Maybe things will change when he gets to that high school level, you know?
Well, they're about to implement new rules here where you can rush the quarterback. And if you rush the quarterback, he can run. So I think if I let him know that that's a thing, like, hey, they blitz, you can go. He's going to be like, okay.
Hell yeah.
Wait, I can run? This is awesome. Yeah,
that's what he wants to do. He just wants to go.
Little Josh, we'll send him the Josh Allen jersey.
Oh yeah, dude, he's a good role model if you want to be a running quarterback.
Like, you know, I don't have animosity towards any quarterback in the league. You know, yeah. So you want to send presents to my kid? I'm not gonna say no.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, Mike, I got another one. It's a sort of PCA, but sort of a rest of 2024 question. So besides the Justice at PCA, anything else to look forward to from Pestaña for the rest of 2024?
Yeah, I'm going to release an entirely new core line.
Ooh, really?
Announcing at the show?
No, I'm not going to announce at the show. I'm going to go down end of April, and I'm going to work on some things. Right now, I'm looking at San Andreas Claros as far as rapper and seeing what that kind of manifests into. Who knows?
It's a good little.
I could be scrapped and I could go a totally different direction, but there's going to be a new core line in Pestaña.
Now, how often do you go down there to actually like blend stuff? Like, I know because we asked you briefly about this process, and you said the only way to do it right is to actually go down there and blend it yourself. So, what's that usually like for when you decide to do something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that definitely that definitely makes a difference. You know, I think that it can be done remotely if you trust the factory and you understand the ingredients. So, but there is a big difference when you're like there and you're saying, this, something's not right. Like, I need to fix this. Like, can we find this? Can we put this in there? You know, and you can fucking go to another factory and acquire a small bundle of stuff to try and put it in something, see what it does, see how it tastes. What was your question?
I was just more so asking about the process and like how often you do something like that where you go down to Nicaragua.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't been down in a while. To be honest, you know, it's been a few years, it's been a couple of years.
Is that where you take the family vacations in Skip's backyard?
No, dude, you don't want to take the family. Man, it's not fun for them. Are you kidding me?
For them, it might be. For you, it's not. It's work for you.
Yeah, no, but it's not fun for them either. Esteli, Nicaragua, is not a family-friendly spot to go to.
You got
to
remember, guys, this guy lives in a place where people go for their family vacation.
Not really, yeah, Nicaragua.
Where everyone goes. Florida. Yeah, I'm talking about Florida. You live in a place where most people take their family vacations.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my kids are so fucking spoiled, it's ridiculous, you know? Because I have good friends. Not because of me, but because I have good friends. So, like, you know, last weekend... Jax went to the Arnold Palmer Invitational and he sat in a suite.
Yeah.
And watched golf and ate ice cream and, you know, had a hell of a time, right? So I've never been to a fucking golf tournament before. You know, when it comes to his birthday, he's like, you know, I want to do VIP Universal. I'm like, what the fuck do you think I am? Like, are you out of your fucking mind?
Outwork everybody, Dad.
I can't afford that shit.
If he said outwork everybody, would you figure it out? Like, I feel like you would have to. You'd be challenged.
He definitely figures it out, obviously.
First of all, when my son makes that statement, I always think, okay, how can I make this work? And he knows. He fucking knows. So,
he knows your button, dude. He pushes your button.
Look, he wanted to go see Brady, come back to New England, and play. You know,
did you go to that game?
Yeah, Mike was there.
He told us that.
You did say that. That is fucking awesome, dude.
I said, you're out of your fucking mind. I'm not, how the fuck are we going to do that? And I'm like, okay, how do I make this work? So I put it together. And I'm like, okay, we're going to go, you know.
Yeah, you told us you had to make sure the guns were out that game.
But then, yes. But then you got to even it up, right? So then, you know, like, so, because when Justice got a little bit older, like, rite to passage, when you turn 8, I'll do the same thing for you, whatever you want to do. And he says, I want to go to the Royal Rumble. I'm like, fuck.
Dude, that sounds,
that's fun, though. Come on, man. We talked about it, bro. Suck it. Like, dude, that was us, bro. Did you watch it when you were younger? Did you watch it like we all did?
Of course.
Who's your favorite wrestler?
The Rock.
The Rock? That was a Stone Cold guy. So, like, we wouldn't have got along.
The Rock, hands down.
Bro, Stone Cold, though. Like, was it not the best when Stone Cold or fucking The Rock were going at it? Or, like, dude, OG, Undertaker, Kane.
Yeah.
I was a Rey Mysterio. McFoley. I was a Rey Mysterio guy. We're like, the same size.
He's still around, I think.
And he was doing backflips and stuff like that. I thought it was awesome.
So I took him to the Royal Rumble in February or whatever the fuck it was.
Oh, the Cody Rhodes one?
Yep.
Nice. Where was it at this year?
It was in Tampa. It worked out well.
Oh, there you perfect. Go.
Do you watch it with him every Monday and stuff? And like Thursdays?
I wouldn't say every Monday. I wouldn't say religiously, but you know, if they want me to watch with him, I'll watch.
They still do SmackDown on Thursdays and Monday Night
Friday
Raw?
Friday now.
SmackDown's on Friday night.
Yeah.
Fucking A.
All right. Mike, I got a question. I'm smoking this thing down to the nub. Where can our viewers and fans of yours find these wonderful cigars?
Caleb is the only guy that's taking this seriously.
I am.
You know what? Thank you very much, Caleb. I appreciate it.
I'm the only guy who wore the P-shirt today, too.
You are. You're the only guy who wore the
P-shirt. I wore it last night with our interview with Rocky, the Rocky Patel guys, as a hello.
Statement.
Hi. And then I did all of our ad reads for other companies while they were here live in studio. And they were like, that was kind of awkward. I'm like, how's it awkward?
They
pay us. You could have that opportunity.
This could be you.
This could be you.
Could be you.
So the cigar will be, I'm taking orders for it at the show. And it's going to be released at Boll Weevil Cigars in Enterprise, Alabama on April 5th. Not April 6th, April 5th. So, you know, what I like to do whenever I release a cigar is I like to release it at a retailer first before I ship it nationwide. So this is a second store for this guy, and he's a really good dude. His name's Steven. He's fucking awesome. His first place is in Dothan, Alabama. So it's Humidor Fine Cigars. So I wanted to, you know, like I always think of dudes that I like working with, retailers that do their job, which is very rare. So I want to go and support them. So we're going to make a drive. We're going to go to Alabama. Alabama.
Bama.
Yes. Roll Tide.
You got any cousins there?
No, I don't. I know where you're going with that.
No, I don't make assumptions. I just asked if you had any cousins there.
I don't have any cousins.
All right. And I got one more question. I don't know if these guys got anything for you. But I know last time you were on, you said maybe being a movie star was one of your life goals.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And I know, to be an actor.
And I know how you haven't, I don't think you've started any movies yet that I've seen or anything, but I'm, you know, what if I had this crazy idea? What if there was a Cigar Hustler movie that were to be written and to be made? And it was about you, the podcast, the store, your life, and maybe some people around you.
We would be sliding in down to her people?
Yeah, maybe, you know.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna write this down mentally. This is not a bad idea. I think that'd be a cool. That'd be a cool mini series.
It could be low budget. It doesn't have to be anything spectacular. But it can feature industry people and perhaps some celebrities as well that we meet along the way. But you know, it's a good story.
I'm down with that.
I mean, hell, if the guys from the Dapper Cigars or whatever get a Netflix documentary, I feel like we're
that was a joke.
Anything's possible.
Yeah. That was a weird one. I'm not shitting on anybody. Good for them. They pulled it off. But I was like, damn, Netflix.
Let me ask you
really
a question, Mike. If you were, okay, let's just hypothetically say you and I know Cigar Hustler Podcast. You know Down to Herf, right? But we don't really know each other, right? We're at the same wedding sitting next to each other at a wedding. Table to table, right? We're all outside smoking cigars. Would you at least like acknowledge the fact that we both have podcasts and like talk about cigars while you're outside just shooting the shit about cigars? Would you try to little boy me?
Well, I mean, I think you kind of know the answer to that question. Because
I know, because you did our podcast, and now we all work together.
I'm the type of person that, you know, I want to talk to everybody, and I want to be friends with everybody, and I want to learn about everything that everybody else does. All that shit kind of fascinates me, so it's like I'm down with that. And like, I'm definitely not an egotistical person. I'm not trying to be biggest dick in the room. Usually when I sense that from somebody, I instantly try and fucking chop them in half. I'm like, oh dude, you're fucking, this is the wrong person to do that to, right?
Yeah.
So, you know,
I had this happen to me.
Somebody tried to big dick you, huh?
Well, he big dicked me. Yeah. at a wedding, at a mutual friend's wedding.
Really?
Yeah. Big dick to me.
He wasn't nice to you at all. Huh?
He actually knows my wife. My wife walked up to him and was like, hey, you know my husband, he does a cigar podcast. He's like, yeah, never heard of him.
What's his podcast?
Burn Down. I'll say it. I don't even give a fuck.
I know what that is.
Exactly.
I'm going to get this movie script written down, though. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get
this dude
down.
Fucking, he big dicked me. And then they did some little thing, some Netflix special thing that they posted or something.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know what it was. And then I left a comment on it. I was like, oh, dude, that's super cool of you guys, man. Hey, maybe next time we're at a wedding, you'll actually talk to one of us, another industry guy. Or something like that.
I don't even know. I never heard
that. I don't know, dude. It was like really awkward because my wife's like, she literally tried to break the ice. And he was like, yeah, I don't care. They have their own cigar. They did some shit.
Wasn't this the issue with like the BDP?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's those guys?
Yes. It was the BDP, the guys that they tried to do to BDP.
So fucking irrelevant.
Bro, I'm telling you, it was the weirdest thing. And I'm not sitting here talking shit. It's just awkward. It was awkward sitting at the wedding. I'm like, if there is one person in this room you want to talk cigars with, it's me. I'm the only one that gives a fuck.
Right. It's like, oh, you smoke cigars? Cool. I'm going to go outside and smoke cigars.
Yeah, let's fucking go rip cigars. Tell me all about your blend. I'm the only person that actually gives a fuck what it is.
Hey, honey, me and, what was your name again? Yeah, me and Steve, we're going to go outside.
The only person that matters should have been me. And obviously our friend who was getting married. But you get what I'm saying. Like, we're going to end up outside. If there's one person you want to talk blends, talk cigars, talk bullshit. Like, I should have been the one. Instead, he was like, yeah, never heard of it.
The guy hasn't done anything.
It bothered me. And my wife's like, let it go. It ain't no big deal. I'm like, yeah, you're right. It ain't no big thing. And then I just...
You know, you're not secure enough in yourself.
It's not that. It's just, like, if I knew... It's not that, though. I am...
This goes back to the trash bags.
Bro, I was about to say, let's talk about football.
Just wait till we write this movie script and it takes off, because
he's writing it down.
It's right not now. A movie though; it should be a mini docu series.
Well, we can make it like a comical movie. Like, I got an idea for movies.
One of the original creations of why we did Mike and Mike Productions, I wanted it in small skits, shows, and stuff like things about the cigar industry.
Dude, I have.
I did all like that was a thing.
Let me pitch you an idea, all right? Okay. Me and Caleb and Gio have been talking.
Yeah.
And I'm trademarking it right now. So if, go ahead. This is post-dated. If someone steals it, I'm coming after you because I'm putting the idea out there. We were thinking about doing mini skits like breaking cigar rules, two cops and an op. So obviously, like, every time Caleb breaks a cigar rule, two cops would run in and just, you know, it'd just be funny mini cigar clips. Two cops and an op. Obviously, Caleb's the op.
Right.
He's always doing something wrong. So we would come in the mini skit, whatever cigar rule. You know, we have our taboo rules. He would just go to jail for it. Cigar jail, whatever that may be. We have to discuss what that
or
may be.
Or just time out in the corner. Sit alone.
Just something funny.
Sit alone. You're a doofus.
So I'm with you. This was an idea we were playing around with. But getting these guys together to do fucking, you know, a 30-second mini skit that's funny would probably take like an entire day.
Or I could wear the Lieutenant Dangle costume too.
Yeah.
You cut out, Mike. I didn't hear you.
I mean, it took 6 months to get a bank account, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, yeah.
No. Let's get that right. It took a year to get a bank account. It took a year. But it's Bank of America, and it's not... What was yours? Oh, well, who?
Fairwind.
Okay. He's like, yeah, Bank of America's across the street. I might have to open an account with them.
The bank account experience alone was actually pretty funny.
We talk a lot of shit to the guy who could send you or not send you your fucking check, buddy. Just saying.
Bro, come on. I know you better than that. You hustle, but you ain't a dirtbag. You hustle, but you're not a dirtbag. I didn't even say a word that last check was.
I'm petty as fuck, bro. It ain't about the money. I'm
petty as fuck. Yeah.
But.
Yeah,
whatever.
Oh, man. Now, see, the funny part about this whole bank thing, we met this story. We go to go set it up, and we walk into, like, a Chase bank, and we're like, hey, we need to set this up, and I know this is, like, we're supposed to make an appointment. I couldn't figure out how to do that on your guys' website because it's the most confusing thing in the world. But we need to do a business account. If it takes, like, a half hour for you guys to be ready, that's fine. Oh, well, we can't get you in today. We have to send you a different branch. All right, cool. We literally walked across the street to Bank of America, and they didn't, like,
they rolled out a red carpet, and they're like, oh, business account. Oh, yes, absolutely. Come on.
Right.
Like, dude, if you're not going to appreciate what we're going to bring, and maybe, who knows? Who knows what the fuck it could be?
Right.
Why are you going to, like, why are we, I don't want to work with a place that wants to put me on a back burner from the minute we meet them. Mm-hmm. That's bad banking. Stupid.
And what did it take? Like 45 minutes?
Yeah, it was like 45 minutes.
Yeah. You had it in the hand.
Yeah, it is what
fumble.
It is.
It would be like someone saying, yeah, I want to order these Pestaña cigars with you. Well, hold on. I have this appointment that's not here yet. But.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you do? Well, first of all, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I want to order, like, you know, not a crazy order, but at least, like, you know, a couple thousand worth of product. Yeah, let's get this done real quickly.
Right.
Fucking weird business. I don't know, faux pas. But anyways, now I guess we can get back to some cigar talk here, since Caleb's been the only one holding this together for like the last hour after Jerry's therapy session.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to thank you guys for being here for me.
Yeah, I need another.
You fucking coach football. I thought it was relevant.
I need another drink for this one.
It was.
They wouldn't let me eat solid meals. They made me fucking drink skim milk and orange juice every 8 hours.
It's rat bastards.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry. When we do the episode post, because I know since you don't drink, I'm going to Photoshop water over the whiskey bottle.
For me?
Yeah, just for you. So you can repost it. I know you don't like to drink.
It's just not my thing. It's not, you know, hey, teach your own. You know,
I've been cutting down too.
I only drink here. I don't drink at home anymore. Just here.
No, you're not allowed.
No, I just been cutting back, trying to maybe become a little healthy.
I think Caleb's kind of becoming a quitter. Just quitting.
I don't quit at anything. Anything relevant.
All right, Mike. Listen. That being said, we got a couple segments we got to do. We appreciate you jumping on with us. We appreciate the hour and 13 minutes you gave us. We're going to see you next week, man. We're looking forward to it. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to have a fucking great weekend. Caleb's actually fucking coming for once, so we can't bust his balls on that no more.
Yes. Can't wait. It's
can't wait. So much
fun. Yeah, the full crew. You know, Palmer's making it this year. Caleb's making it on our end.
Boots is coming, right?
Boots? Well, yeah. You can't get rid of Boots.
Phil.
Well, no, he's Boots to me. We are not even talking about a Cigar Hustler podcast.
Even if we didn't invite Boots, he would show up.
Like, oh, good.
Yeah. Oh, same flight? Crazy. Where you got? Oh, Vegas?
Industry.
Yeah.
Industry.
Yeah.
I love that guy, by the way.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, Mike, where can all our viewers and all your viewers find you and all your information? Websites?
Yeah.
You social media.
A Cigar Hustlers podcast. You can find me on at Cigar Hustler on Instagram. You can find me Cigar Hustler the store. You can find CigarHustler.com. You can find me fucking anywhere.
He's available.
Cigars, you know.
He will be at the hotel gym at 6 a.m.
Maybe not that early, but I'll be there.
Well, what celebrity beat you? I can't remember. Who beat you at the gym?
Beat me?
Yeah,
who beat you? Carl Malone or something?
Yeah, Carl Malone beat you there. That's what it was, right?
He beat me there.
Yeah. He didn't outlift Mike. He just got.
He's an old fucking man, but he's still he.
No, that's the mailman. He always delivers.
The guy puts in the work.
Yeah,
that's for damn sure.
Don't worry, we're gonna have to find a way into Resort World. We're gonna have the Down to Herf versus Cigar Hustler fucking bench off or something.
Oh, I would love to see Mikey versus fucking Gio. He's trending the fuck out, dude. You got to see this guy right now,
dude. You don't want it. Don't do it to yourself.
Gio, since the baby.
What if he beats you, though, in a bench off?
Then he's clearly on steroids.
Because I am.
It's like the bro science. He's like, if they outlift you, they're on steroids.
Don Mazzetti. Yeah. Classic. Absolute classic.
That's, you know, justice.
I've dropped like close to 30 pounds. I tried to shed, fucking lean up.
You are looking slim, dude.
That so jawline.
Yeah, your jawline looks slim. You lose it in your face quick?
Yeah, no, I just lost it. I mean, it probably took me like 4 or 5 months to drop the weight.
Yeah.
So I did lose a little bit of strength, but it was nominal. It was worth it, you know? Just I like feeling a little bit lighter. But now I run a little bit faster, and I keep fucking tearing my calves, which is fantastic.
Oh, dude.
Are you going to be like Nick and have a fucking boot scooter around the PCA this year?
As of right now, I have a boot, and as of right now, I have a scooter.
Oh, man.
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
Are you gonna have it at PCA? You wouldn't let anyone see you like that.
I might have to have it at PCA.
Oh no.
You versus Nick.
My scooter
in a scooter off. Who can ride it faster? We will turn this into competition, I promise you.
I'll still be at the gym, bitch, in my boot. So.
All right. Every day's arm day.
But you won't be squatting.
I don't do arms, bro. I do one bicep workout a week, one tricep workout.
Listen.
1,000 reps though.
No.
But you won't be squatting.
I heard you the first time, you fuck.
Yeah, you ignored it. I had to make sure.
Gio. All
right.
You want to get him? No, Brady, you find him.
Hey, listen.
225 NFL Combine Press.
Listen, I can I like squat that. And deadlift. That's one thing I can do well. Nah.
Gio is supposed to get his shirt.
Not anymore. Not anymore.
No,
she's gonna put a dick on it.
No, she's gonna give me like a small on purpose. The belly button's hanging out and shit.
Does she make the shirts?
She's gonna make these, yeah.
Oh,
I told you.
My wife makes our shirts too. That's great that we have good ladies in our lives.
To be honest, Gio, I can't squat anymore, man. Every time I try to, it hurts my lower back since my car wreck.
Really? What's yeah. That's actually sad. I'm sorry for you.
Lightweight, dude. It's not good.
Not like Ronnie Coleman lightweight. You don't want to be Ronnie Coleman. He was cool for a little while. Now you look at him and you're kind of just like, Ronnie Coleman. Yeah, it's funny. Ronnie Coleman?
He's in like a wheelchair now.
That guy's in like a wheelchair, dude. Lightweight, baby!
It's a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
He's one of the biggest bodybuilders of all time.
Mr. What? 9-time Mr. Olympia? Yeah. You don't want to be Ronnie Coleman. That being said, we love you, Mikey. We'll see you next week.
Love you, too.
I cannot wait to review this cigar. It's fantastic.
Yes.
Enjoy the cigar.
Give like a good smile for right before you leave.
That.
Yeah, there it is.
Look at that. You can see the pores.
You can catch this mug at PCA.
That's it.
All right, dude. We'll see ya. Let it load. See ya.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was about to hit leave.
See ya.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Adios.
That being said, a couple segments we got
to
do.
Yeah, we got to get to it.
We are crushing right now. Everything's working smoothly, which is great. I love that.
Perfect.
That being said, Caleb, got a couple things we got to get to, man.
All right, it's time for Patrol Gone Wild, brought to you by Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust, makers of fine cigars such as Mi Querida, Sin Compromiso, Sober Mesa, and many others. With that being said, let's roll.
Patrol Gone Wild. We're doing it big.
I feel like I forgot to do the gunshots the last couple of weeks. Sorry, got to bring that back. All right, start things off. Up first, we have a suburban mom who ran a complex crime ring that stole nearly $8 million in makeup across the United States for online resale, authorities say. So this is out of San Diego. We got a California mom of three is the mastermind of an organized crime ring that stole about $8 million worth of makeup from stores like Ulta, TJ Maxx, and Walgreens, and then they resold it online for profit. Michelle Mack, 53. So she ran this enterprise from her $2.75 million, 4,500-square-foot mansion in the San Diego foothills. She paid as many as 12 women to steal stores from across the country. They stockpiled all these goods, and they sold them on her Amazon storefront for a fraction of retail price. So they were dubbing this crime ring the California Girls. They would travel up and down the California coast, as well as 10 other states, including Texas, Florida, Massachusetts, and Ohio. And they carried out hundreds of thefts on Michelle Mack's orders. And that's how they were making all their money. Crazy story. Just stealing makeup and reselling for money. At her house, they discovered nearly 10,000 items. With an overall value of about $400,000 in her huge mansion up in the San Diego foothills. Had a mini store in her garage. It also had beauty products such as sunglasses and designer bags as well. All this stuff already shipped, you know, is packaged to the ship, ready to go.
Yeah, it's California. She'll be out in like 2 minutes.
This just sounds like that pyramid scheme Mary Kay back in the day.
Yeah. Dude, know what showed up on my door for my neighbors? A Mary Kay package. Funny that you mentioned that. No lie.
Yeah, I remember like the top sales girl would get like a pink Cadillac that was like the big thing. So like who could rip off the most women?
My mom actually used to sell Mary Kay. They used to take plenty of trips to Dallas for their big convention yearly. So my mom did that.
Debbie does Dallas.
Good thing my mom's name's not Debbie. So she got 140 felony charges against her and her husband. Such as organized retail theft, grand larceny, and receipt of stolen property. All defendants pled not guilty. Yeah, they're not taking it lightly. They're not going to take this as the garden variety shoplifting, California courts say. What else do we got here? Text messages between the members show collusion. So they're saying, like, the non-guilty plea. Yeah, they're not going as... Amazon had to say that they have a zero tolerance against selling stolen goods. So they assisted in the investigation with Mac's crew. So, yeah, it's going to send a strong message not to sell stolen goods. That's what Amazon's saying. So,
but not to not steal it if it's under $1,000.
Because that's only petty larceny and right, probably an appearance ticket in a state like California.
So I believe they say that's how they got away with it for so long, because in such states, liberal states, and most of those were liberal states outside of Texas, if you steal under...
Dude, why are you getting political?
Whatever.
Fuck them. Fuck, well, California.
Most of those stolen goods were from liberal states where you reach that $900, $950 limit. It's not really a crime, and they're not going to come after you, go after you. So I think that's how they're saying they got away with it for so long. They made over $8 million, so...
I mean, that's awesome for them, but that's fun because, like...
How much of that is going to be paid back in, like, restitution?
None.
Probably.
Not a single...
Yeah, probably none.
One, you have to prove all of their gains is from that. So, like...
Gains is?
Their ill-gotten gains, you have to prove it.
Okay.
And, well, I mean, the Amazon shit, that's easy. They have a record of that. But, like, I'm assuming she bought this crazy mansion. Where are they going to tell that cash came from?
That's a good point.
Could have had that mansion before this all started. I don't know.
Yeah, no, no, I had this beforehand. Like, mm-hmm. it's fucking nuts. But this is what happens when it's a fucking banana republic.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Fuck Cali.
Yeah, Cali sucks. But San Diego's very nice. The San Diego foothills, fantastic. Who's up next? Jerry, but I'll do your story.
Yeah. Caleb's going to do my story today because I had a lot going on. So let's all thank Caleb. Good job, Caleb. You're the man. We love you.
Deuces. All right. We have a cocaine-infused rollerblade wheels found in Kenosha drug bust. So this is out of Kenosha County, Wisconsin. Sheriff's Department says 1,048 grams of cocaine were recovered during a search warrant. Flagged by the Border Patrol for like an unusual package coming from Columbia to Kenosha. So their tactical response unit, they teamed up with Homeland Security and Border Patrol, served a search warrant on March 1st in Kenosha to a Ryan Scott, who's caught on surveillance video, getting a couple packages from Bogota, Colombia, as rollerblades. And the cocaine was found in the wheels of the rollerblades in gelatin-like substances, and they tested positive for cocaine. So when you see the picture, it's like a rollerblade cut in half. So the wheels, not actually wheels, gelatin-like substance with some plastic residue, that's where the cocaine was, in the wheels.
First of all, Border Patrol saw this and was like, who the fuck rollerblades at Columbia? Why the fuck would they even be manufacturing this stuff? Kenosha makes sense, though. Like, it's probably a hockey city, right? Yeah. Like, up there in Wisconsin. Wisconsin, Minnesota, all that stuff. There's no way they're manufacturing rollerblades down in Columbia. So, this makes complete sense to me.
So, a captain said that he's not a chemist, but somehow, with the cocaine, they liquefied it, and they got it into this plastic residue, which made, like, a gel. So, in order to, like, get it out, you'd have to pull the cocaine out of this gel-like substance that it was in to form the wheel. Then you'd have to heat it up, so it, like, heat it up in a microwave with a little bit of water, so it turned into cocaine powder. So, that's how they got it in. Obviously, flagged by Border Patrol and Homeland Security for being a suspicious package. But pretty ingenious, and with drug dealers, they always find a way, no matter what. There's always.
I was gonna say, this is like, you hear the stories. This is borderline, and it's not a joke because it's crossing the border. Borderline insane, but genius. How many got through before?
Oh. I mean,
probably plenty.
First off, I mean, it's rollerblades. You know how many jokes, like, we all make the joke about how, like, rollerblading's gay. And, like, ah, who's this homo getting these rollerblades from Colombia? Wait a second.
Well, so in total, it was 1 kilo and 48 grams. So about $35,000 worth of cocaine if you sold it by the kilo.
Honestly, it sounds like this really wasn't that successful. They only got like a kilo.
Well, they caught 1 kilo. How many other kilos got by in rollerblades is crazy.
Well, here's the thing. You're telling me it's a gelatin-like substance that they made a rollerblade wheel off of. Like, I mean, what other similar things could you put that in that might not be? Like, if they did this as a pair of sneakers.
At the arrest, they also found over $3,000 of U.S. currency, money transfer documents from Kenosha to Bogota that total over 30 grand in multiple forged documents, permanent resident alien cards and social security cards and Colombian identification cards as well. So investigations is still active and potential charges are still being sought for the people involved.
Well, if it wasn't the cocaine or the fentanyl that was going to kill you, it was probably going to be like the BPA that came off of the gelatin wheels into the cocaine. So.
The cancer cocaine.
Yeah.
So if you're snorting that roller skate cocaine, good luck. Probably got cancer.
Yeah, I don't know. The rate this going, every illicit drug's going to be legalized before you know it. These cocaine factories in fucking Colombia and Mexico and all that shit, they're going to be like the fucking cigar families.
Man.
This is 100% pure Colombian. Ooh. From the Escobar line.
You need some of that Peruvian nose powder. What is it called? What is it? Peruvian, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Don't do a lot of drugs here.
Gio, what do you got for us, bud?
All right, let me pull up my little article here. This is going to be quite the theme here. Unintentionally, so Caleb had a fraud story. I got a fraud one here. $1 million fraudster found on dating app while running from the cops.
That's how they got him.
Yep. His
love for crime got outweighed by his horniness.
So this is a New York Post article. I love the under tag for it. This guy, instead of swipe right, they said swipe flight. Love a good pun. Wanted man Wayne Parker successfully evaded authorities for nearly a year after committing $1 million in fraud, but the then farmer from Suffolk, England, signed up for dating app Match.com. Cops were shocked to see he created a profile on Match.com. The 35-year-old scammer was found guilty last October of owing a whopping $970,000 to suppliers. He had failed to appear in court in February for sentencing and was being hunted. And when he was on the lam, he decided to look for love.
Yeah. He got horny, dude. Like, I get it.
When the boner's raging, you got to get on those apps and got to find love.
I get it. I get it, man. It makes sense. Like, hey, it's the easiest way to get it, man.
He's 35. He's got to find it somewhere, man. Yeah. Got to go on those dating apps.
I got a fucking almost $1 million.
Oh, and then his prior crimes, the Frisky Farmer, as they're calling him, was previously prosecuted for posing a serious risk of spreading bovine tuberculosis. So I don't know what the fuck he was like. This guy just is like a bad person.
Well, I don't know if he has anything to do with the cows having tuberculosis, but like
not doing the matters to prevent it.
I get it. Like I'm sure his intentions weren't to spread TB.
Just that
cow TB.
Get away with $1 million worth of product.
Yeah.
Fucking dirtbag. I don't know. Like, usually people in like this type of industry are like pretty wholesome people. So like you're just like, ah, what a fucking dirtbag. And he's fucking Suffolk, England. Don't trust the Brits.
Dirty Brits.
Don't trust their dentist either. Hey-o.
Or their farmers.
All right.
You think someone matched with him, though?
For sure.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Undercover agent. That's how he got caught.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, that is going to conclude Patrol Gone Wild. So tune in next week for another Patrol Gone Wild segment brought to you by Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust. And now we have news with Caleb. Hot off the press, breaking news from a sponsor of the show, Crown Heads, turns the Casa Carrillo for Coronetta. I think I said it right. I hope so.
Coronetta?
Coronetta. I just want to make sure.
Casa Carrillo.
Casa Carrillo.
Yeah, Coronetta. That wasn't the issue. The name of the brand.
So as of March 13th, this was a new drop from Crown Heads. Dude, they're just putting out bangers. So most of the time when a company releases a new line, it's offered in just one blend at the debut. But now they're going to have two wrapper options from Crown Head, one from different factories. So you're going to have Coronetta Habano made from Nicaragua American Cigars S.A. using an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper over a Nicaraguan binder and fillers from Condega, Esteli, and Jalapa. And then they're going to have from Casa Carrillo from EPC in the Dominican factory. You're going to have the Maduro from them. They're going to use a Mexican San Andreas wrapper over Ecuadorian Connecticut seed binder and fillers from the Dominican Republic, Nicaragua, and Pennsylvania. So you're going to have three sizes. You can have the Habano Maduro Earl. It's a 5x52. It's going to be $12.95 per stick or a box of 20 for $2.59. And then you're going to have the Duke, which is a 5.5x54. It's going to be $13.95. Box of 20 is going to cost you $2.79. And then you're going to have the Baron for $14.95. Box of 20, $300. So they're expected to show off the cigars to retailers at PCA, and then slated to ship in April. So we got that coming from Crown Heads, guys.
I noticed that story was kept from us.
Yep.
Thanks, Gio.
My bad. Sorry, John, again. But we still love you. I can just imagine the at meeting. Jerry, I think, had a good expression on how that probably went.
Oh, it was John Huber at the round table. All right, guys. Here's a new cigar coming out. I just have one instruction. Do not tell the Down to Herf guys about it, because Gio will post the story before cigar aficionado supposed to do it.
Jake, I know they're your boys and all, but keep this a secret.
They've lost their privileges for at least this one.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, more apologies to Crown Heads and even Cigar Aficionado. We had no fucking clue. It's his fault.
Yeah.
That guy right there.
I'll own it.
Hey.
If you fuck up, you fuck up. You own it.
Be on the lookout for that at PCA. We'll be all on that shit.
It's a Habano and a Maduro. I wonder how it's going to be.
Two different cigars made out of two different factories.
Correct.
That's cool.
It's dope.
Good idea.
Are they... Now, they said they're going to be completely separate. Or are they going to do it similar? What was it? What was the Leteliers that had the two different ones in the top? Like
the Roxy's?
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to do a box like that.
They might.
Very little artwork available. Just that one logo that we used. That's it. That's all I could find. Yeah. I didn't see
any. And you know we're not getting the artwork because Geode posted.
Look for it at PCA.
The story already broke, man. I'm not... By the time this ends, the 24-hour exclusive's done. Fuck.
All right. Moving along, we have Agronosa Leaf announces a new Arsenio cigar. So they've been teasing this. It's named after the late Arsenio Ramirez, Agronosa's blender. So we're going to have a new follow-up with Casa Fernandez Arsenio and Arsenio Oro lines. Blend-wise, it's a Corojo wrapper from Jalapa, two binders, Carrillo 98 and tobacco from Esteli, and fillers from the company's farms in Condega and Jalapa. Three sizes as well. You're going to have a Corona 6x44 for $14.99 a stick, a Robusto for $15.99 a stick, and a Toro for $16.99 a stick. There's going to be 2,000 boxes of each the Robusto and Toro, and 1,500 boxes of the Corona, which is Ramos's favorite size. So Ramos was born in Cuba, spent four decades working for Cuba Tobacco, the state-run tobacco company of Cuba. And he left in 2000, and he went to work for Eduardo Fernandez in Nicaragua, so which is now known as Agronor Salif. So homage to him right there. So got that looking forward to as well, coming out soon.
Yeah, Agronorsa makes some really good cigars, dude. I always look forward to their Supreme Leaf. I know I've said that quite a few times. Even a lot of their newer cigars that they put out, they've all been really good, so... That's somebody we got to reach out to.
Yeah. Definitely haven't had anyone from them on.
Yeah.
All right. Up next, we have Kentucky. We have Peerless. They're trying their hand at a toasted barrel. So all you guys who are fans of Peerless out of Kentucky, toasted barrels are coming to them. Started getting really popular around 2014 with Michter's. They released the first toasted barrel during the charring process. So Kentucky Peerless is going to start to join that. This is actually going to hit in a couple days. It's going to hit on March 16th. Bottles are going to be suggested retail at $124. So toasted batch one from Peerless Distillery, which is on Louisville's Whiskey Row. The first of 100 bottles are going to be sold right at the factory right there. And they're going to be doing bottle signings as well. So be on the lookout for that for all you whiskey hunters out there.
Love Peerless. Really cool distillery.
Very small batch.
Very small batch.
Isn't Peerless in like the ghetto of Louisville or something?
Dude, it's not in a great place. I can tell you that right now. It's not in like this great neighborhood. You just gotta like, it's like right around the corner from Michter's, which is like, I know that sounds crazy, but like one block makes a difference. No. Like that one block, there's like an overpass bridge from one of the interstates, and there's just like a bunch of crackheads and tents underneath it. Oh, geez. Like right across the street from Peerless.
The only reason I knew that is because there's like a Polo G video, and I think he's like from Louisville or some shit like that. And like they show like the Louisville like skyline. I was like, oh, Peerless. It's like next to a freeway.
Yep. Right. Yeah. There. It's literally right near it.
Yeah. That shit was funny to me. I was like, oh, wow. Looks a little hood.
So expect a very vanilla forward flavors from their toasted barrel finish. That's what they say.
All right.
So it sounds groovy.
Perfect. That being said, we smoked the Pestaña Justice, the all new line. We got to be the first people reviewing the cigar, at least on a podcast.
One of the first few.
Yeah.
For sure.
This is the new addition to the line, the Connecticut line, which is fantastic if you haven't had it. So, Caleb, let's get into that cigar review.
All right. I got to say, one of the best Connecticuts I've had in recent memory. So appearance, giving it a 9. The gold, the size, even, you know, what you're going to see online. It looks great. Anything with the black and gold gets a little bonus points. Those are the alma mater colors of my high school. So there we go. Bonus points there. Burn, I'm giving it 8.5. It got a little uneven during the last third, but it did fix itself with the relight. So 8.5. That's probably the only bad experience I had with this cigar. Construction, gave it 9.5. Great stack of dimes. If you look at my ashtray, anytime I ashed it, lines perfectly straight up. It was not very well constructed. Draw, I went with the V-cut just because of the shape. I felt it lended itself to a V-cut. 9.5, no issues, no complaints. Nothing wrong there. Good flow of smoke. Lots of smoke from this cigar. Very smoky, thick. Enjoyment, we had Mike himself on, the king from Cigar Hustler. 9.5. I'm knocking it 0.5 point. Would have gave it a 10, but we had some internet connection, so took away from the enjoyment right there. I would have gave it a 10.5 had Mike been in studio, you know, if that's even allowed to be possible.
No.
No.
Overall,
no, that's not.
Overall score from me, 46 times that by 2, getting a 92 from Caleb. I did tell Mike I picked up 4 complex flavors of the cigar. I got some earthy wet grass upon the cold draw, little pepper spice, and a lot of sandiness to it. You know, so there's your 4. Earthy, wet grass, spicy, a little pepper, and sand. So 92 overall for me.
All right, buddy.
Do you eat a lot wet grass and sand?
A little bit.
Those don't really sound great.
That's not bad. If you like the beach and you like the sand and the freshness of the beach when you first come upon it, it's great for a guy like me who enjoys the beach.
What about wet grass?
It's not like a bad thing.
All right.
Okay.
Let me get into my review. Pestaña Justice, the all-new Connecticut. Appearance, I gave it a 9. I really like the embossed band on it. I like that they added a secondary band to this year. Justice, obviously, that's really cool that he's doing that for his son. The burn, I gave it a 9.5. This thing is absolutely flawless, which brings me to my construction. I gave that a 9 as well. This thing is, I mean, it's constructed well. Niga Sweeney does a fantastic job. Obviously, you know, Skip Martin, Mike Rosales, some guys know what the fuck they're doing down there. They don't put out bad cigars, so construction's always going to be there. The draw, I straight cut mine like I normally do. I gave it a 9. Dude, this thing, chain smokable. You could just keep smoking the cigar over and over and over again. I know I said that earlier when Mike was in and on with us, but this cigar, it's not going to kill you, which is really nice. So if like you're looking for that cigar that you can continuously smoke all day long, you're just doing shit and you just want to have a fucking cigar all day, this is the one, man. This thing is fantastic. Bringing my overall enjoyment, 9.5. We obviously had the king himself on, Mr. Cigar Hustler. Mikey, we appreciate you, buddy. Bring me to a 46.92 overall. Some notes I got. The cold draw was spicy. Had a little bit of spice, but that mellowed out as you smoked the cigar. Very creamy cigar. So if you like that, this is going to be right up your alley. This is a fantastic Connecticut and very distinctive and different than most Connecticuts. So I will say that. Gio, how'd you do, buddy?
All right. The Pestaña Justice. First things first, Corona Gorda is my absolute favorite size, so I can just, spoiler alert, this was going to get a good score on the enjoyment side of things, but we'll get to that later. Appearance, it's a 9 all the way. I mean, the golden black, you know, embossed that you touched on, add in the secondary band with the name. I think Mike took it to heart a little bit when he got some criticism from Half Wheel about the bands overlapping a little bit, because I did notice that these were very, very meticulous. My man read his notes.
Yeah, Half Wheel said that they were a little rushed.
Yeah,
and it seemed like the bands overlapped each other and weren't put on properly.
Yeah, so
or no, it was the same size band for all the sizes of the cigar.
Some weird shit like that. But so I did notice that was just a random thing I picked up on. So kudos to him for taking constructive criticism, even though he got a really good score on that cigar. You know, it'd be very easy to rest on your laurels. So that is something I noticed there for it here. Burn. I gave this thing a 9. I think I touched it up twice, and that was with a relight that I'm not going to hold against it because we had some shitty internet issues in Florida. Construction, 9 again. You know, this thing held up with a stop relight to a point where we let this thing go out. Like, sometimes that can be a death sentence for a cigar.
I agree.
It will ruin your experience if your cigar does not stay lit consistently. Didn't find that to be a problem at all. That, like you said, speaks very well to the factory and, you know, the whole manufacturing process. Draw, I went with the punch. So, again, it's becoming my go-to cut when I can. And great output, no issues. So, Caleb, you did a V. Jerry, did you straight cut again?
Yeah.
So, 3 different cuts. Universal good grades across the board on that side for the draw. Safe to say it's cut-proof. I don't even think there's any other style of cuts you can do. Did we hit them all? Yeah.
The crown.
Yeah, that's just a double V. But, so, enjoyment. I gave this thing a 10 for enjoyment.
What?
Yeah. So, there's a couple reasons for that. So, this cigar, I've smoked the original Connecticut a few times, and just to even, like, get to do it in a facet now around the show, I enjoyed that aspect of it and give it its real due justice rather than, like, kind of taking a dive into it and really focusing on how to review it rather than just enjoying it. So that was fun for me. And to say that anyone I know that I have, like, smoked, that have tried this cigar, they've always said nothing but good things on it. John from the Patreon made it a point to say that was his favorite Connecticut. I even gave my cousin Dan an extra one I had, and he's like, dude, where do I get those? I was like, unfortunately, there's not a lot of options here for that online, buddy. Even that, and then, you know, I enjoyed Jerry's therapy session about, you know, how he could have been something in Little League football. And then obviously having Mike on is always a good time. We just, that went from, you know, some pre-PCA show to just, we're bullshitting fucking around with your friends, which we're lucky to have a relationship like that, and it just makes it fun, you know. Sometimes you even forget you're just recording. It's just that, like, little shit talk. Caleb actually was probably the most prepared for PCA-related questions.
Good job, Caleb.
I do things.
And so that brought my total score to, shockingly, a 46, bringing it a 92, so...
Whoa, 92 across the board?
That's yeah. Easy. I don't even have to do any math.
What is it?
92.
So.
Well deserved.
Also, Mike, there you go, buddy. You got your certified high score.
That sounds like a biased score.
Fuck you.
What do you think? It's bias.
Honestly, like I said, one of the best Connecticuts I've ever had. So
every time I smoke this cigar, I'm like, damn, bro.
Wish I had more.
I wish I had more.
I would love to have had a second one just to go back to back.
Let me ask you a question, Caleb. Would you buy a box of these?
Yeah. What's the price on a box? About box worthy.
Way more than the last box you bought.
Well, $13.95 a stick for these?
You would know.
I think it's $13.95 or $12.95.
Well,
I got to say, it comes in a box of 21, so
it's a lot.
Well, also, too, let's actually touch on that a little bit.
Because I'm cheapo.
We've been, you fucker. We've been actually trying to make sure we do this more for our cigar reviews and talking about the price point. And this is separate from the score, but I definitely agree. You know, if... It seems to be, I'd agree, in most people's budgets, if you're into cigars, worthy of a box. You're not going to be disappointed if you buy one, but you're not going to be disappointed if you buy 5 or a single. Like, it's...
True, true. Any quantity works.
Yeah.
That being said, great score, great cigar. Caleb, any closing notes to the episode, buddy?
Guys, as always, just make sure you're following on all of our social media accounts. We've got the Facebook, the Instagram, the TikTok, and most importantly, the YouTube. You're going to want to subscribe to that. Tell a friend, get those subscribers up. Appreciate you guys. Continue with the likes and comments. Grow a gang. you know, we're about that life. And also tune into the Patreon for the After Herf show. Do that once a week on Friday for you guys. Let's get that growing too. Grow our gang.
And that being said, guys, we will see you next Wednesday. Peace.
The Down to Herf podcast, its owners and sponsors take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the talk show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of Mike and Mike Productions or the podcast providers, and opinions between talk show hosts may differ. It's not our intention to libel, incite, or hurt anyone's feelings. We invite you to write the show's host, Jerry Lewandowski, with any feedback or suggestions you have for their show. These broadcasts are presented and made public as entertainment in the hopes that they will be entertaining to the audience.